Benta Berkland is an award-winning radio journalist who works at Colorado Public Radio and previously covered the state legislature for Capitol coverage in collaboration between KDNK and other public radio stations in Colorado. Thank you so much for joining me, Benta. It's great to have you on KDNK again.
It is great to be back.
Hey, let me start by asking you to go all the way back in time to when you first started working for Rocky Mountain Community Radio Coalition. What year did you start covering Colorado politics, and can you remember your very first story?
Ooh, you know what? I was not prepared for that question. I don't think I remember my first story. It was 07, so definitely a long time ago. We had Governor Bill Ritter, and worked for KDNK and a lot of stations across the state. So it's definitely over the years, some of the same issues you're always looking at, because the big problems in society don't get resolved. So they're constantly being brought up each year, but always a different flavor, turnover with lawmakers since we have term limits. And so there's always something new to learn, and new issues do come up. I remember actually one of the first things I was covering was when Colorado voted to ban gay marriage, and that passed. And so seeing the evolution of the rights for same-sex couples, it's just that's been something I kind of covered from beginning to end. And then there were also multiple attempts at the Capitol to do things like allowing for second parent adoption, which failed, and civil unions, which failed for multiple years before it passed. And now we have gay marriage. So that's one issue over the years that's been fascinating to see how quickly the policy shifted on that.
Well, and after so many years of informing listeners and communities across the state, covering the legislature, you took on the storyline of sexual harassment at the state capitol. And of course, this was a much more widespread problem than most Coloradans realized, and not a partisan problem. There was bad behavior on, you know, both sides of the aisle. Was it difficult at the beginning to go public with your reporting, knowing that it could change the very dynamics of your job?
I think it's always very tough when you're telling a story that's highlighting something that was hidden, and it puts people's careers in jeopardy, and it's not something pleasant that's going on. I don't think at the time I knew that I would probably be covering it for a year and a half, and I never knew how much I would uncover and how tough it would be, and it led to policy changes. And then Democratic Representative Steve Lubsock, he was the first lawmaker expelled in over 100 years because of it. So I didn't know what I was getting into, and maybe that's a good thing. Because when I first asked the question, I thought, well, I should probably ask around about it because of what was happening with Harvey Weinstein. And no one really even told me to do the story, but I thought, I don't think we have a really big problem here in Colorado. And we probably don't compared to other states, but there's still a problem because it happens everywhere. So I didn't know what would happen, but one thing leads to the next. So it was challenging, but also rewarding, and I learned a lot. And that's part of our job here, is to shine a light on things that are happening and uncover stuff and, you know, make things as transparent as possible.
Well, and after working that beat for so long, what did it mean to you to be honored with the Journalist of the Year Award from the Society of Professional Journalists for Colorado? I mean, that was a major honor.
Yeah, it was really a thrill, and it was just something, you know, you're honored to receive that, and that people recognize the work that goes into it. Because I think there's, or at least I had this misconception, that once the first person comes forward publicly, everyone else comes and wants to talk to you, and then you're just flooded with stories. And it's true that more people will talk to you behind the scenes, and one thing does lead to the next. But as soon as the first story came out, a lot of forces were in play to try to make sure nothing else ever came out on anyone else. So it becomes harder and harder the more you're reporting, almost, because so many people don't want things to come to light. Although that's balanced with people who do, and people who help you behind the scenes, even if they're not on the record, they can point you to information, to documents. And so there could be 50 people that help me behind the scenes with one story potentially. And so it's not just me, so there's a lot of things that go into it.
Well, so you had the opportunity to take a new position at Colorado Public Radio, and you've now begun your second year there, right? What did you focus on primarily in your first 12 months at CPR?
You know, it was definitely still expanding some of the workplace harassment stuff. We had to see that through with, you know, we had a lot of allegations and investigations and all of that. And then the follow-up on that was the legislative policy changes. So that was something I focused on last session, along with covering a lot of other things, whether Denver was going to have a safe injection site, and a lawmaker decided not to do that. We would have had the first in the country if that had gone through. Focused a little bit on vaccines. We have the lowest kindergarten vaccination rate in the country, and some lawmakers wanted to increase that rate. It ended up being extremely controversial, and that issue is going to come up again this session. A bill did not pass. And so there's just so many different topics that you don't necessarily anticipate what's going to come up. We haven't had a vaccine bill before that took up a lot of time at the session. And then we also are getting into the political season. Republican Senator Cory Gardner, he's one of the most vulnerable senators going into 2020. We had a slew of Democrats challenging him, and we had, you know, last year we had two Democrats in Colorado running for president, Hickenlooper, and then Senator Michael Bennett is still running for president. So a little bit of the political stuff, too, mixed in with policy and the legislature.
Classic Benta, scooping me on my own questions. My guest is reporter Benta Berkland, recent winner of the Journalist of the Year Award from Society of Professional Journalists in Colorado. One of the beats you're working now is the U.S. Senate race. As you said, Democrats have several competent candidates in the primary, angling to challenge Cory Gardner in the general election. Who do you see as the top challengers to presumed Democratic frontrunner John Hickenlooper? Is there anyone else you think is going to give him a serious run for his money in the primary?
I think former State House Speaker Andrew Romanoff would be the other person. He's the only other person who's raised any amount of money that's significant, and he's been in office before. It's harder for other candidates who don't have any name recognition and haven't run for elected office to kind of compete against someone like John Hickenlooper.
I mean, a lot of strong women with strong records and interesting resumes certainly seem like people that would have a shot in a less competitive race, perhaps. But you think Hickenlooper and Romanoff are the top two most likely in terms of not just fundraising, but name recognition?
I think so. And we had some of the more high-profile female candidates have dropped out. We had a former House Majority Leader and then a current state senator, Angela Williams. And I know there was frustration among a lot of the women that, look, we're one of just a handful of states that's never had a female senator, never had a female governor. Our state legislature right now, which is considered kind of you don't have to be a state lawmaker first, but certainly if you have a lot of women in the legislature, it makes it more likely someone may move up to a statewide position or Congress. And now our state legislature is almost half of the members are women. So we've seen an uptick in female state lawmakers. And there's been that frustration, you know, why can't we get a female senator? And I'm sure we will at some point. But, you know, Hickenlooper was running for president, and a lot of Democrats were in this crowded field, and he had said repeatedly that he didn't want to run for U.S. Senate.
God, you scooped my next question again,
oh,
Benta.
Really?
No, but so he said he wouldn't make a good U.S. senator. He didn't want the job. Could that very in-character flub harm his chances enough in the general to be a concern for primary voters?
I think that's hard to say. Definitely it's going to be used against him as we get closer. You know, why do you think he would be good now? But in the grand scheme of things, for folks who don't want Cory Gardner to be in the Senate, who want to see if Democrats can capture control of the U.S. Senate, I don't think that's going to be a make-or-break issue.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be a lot of money flowing in, a lot of really tough attacks. We've got Trump on the ballot. There's so many unknowns about what's going to be happening with the economy and what new information is going to come to light. So it will be an attack line, definitely. And I think for some folks who are still Democrats, but maybe Hickenlooper wouldn't have been their first choice, they're just kind of baffled. Why is he doing this?
Well, and Andrew Romanoff, if folks don't know, does have a long track record at the state level, but has not successfully run for federal office yet. So, you know, another uphill battle for him, but he's a fighter. You are continuing to cover the legislative session during 2020, and your story about working parents at the state capitol will be running tomorrow. Why was this so significant to have Brittany Peterson give birth during the session?
You know, it's just state law is not really designed for a legislator who wants to take paid leave during the session. So lawmakers are allowed a certain amount of time to be excused, but, you know, it's not really clear what if there's not a maternity leave policy, if you will, because it's very, very rare for someone to give birth during the session. So it's bringing up some interesting questions, and we have more lawmakers now that are younger, that have babies, that have young children. Governor Jared Polis, more than half of his senior staff has very young children, babies and toddlers. So, you know, lawmakers sometimes bring their children to the chamber floors. And there's a gray area about is that always appropriate, depending upon what's being discussed. You don't want kids to be distracting, but they also want to have room for children to be there. So things are changing a little bit with just the makeup of lawmakers. Last year, the Capitol created its first lactation room for new mothers. And then also passed a bill to allow people campaigning for public office to use campaign funds to offset child care or a portion of that that will be considered a campaign expense, if you will. So we're seeing some – so there's some policy questions. And then the issue of paid family leave is a topic Democrats – some Democrats in the legislature really want to address this year. They tried last year. They want to extend paid family leave to a lot more workers in the state. Some companies offer it. Definitely a lot of them do, but certainly smaller companies say, look, we can't afford to do this. I have 15, 20 employees. We don't have the money for this. So it's trying to figure that out. Democratic lawmakers, some of them had proposed a state-run program, and a lot of proponents of paid leave still want a state-run program. Governor Polis said, look, I think it should be the private sector tackling this themselves. So that's going to be a larger discussion. A tiny part of that is state lawmakers who want to have paid leave when they're in the session. So that's going to be an issue we will be covering probably till the final day of session.
Going to have to leave it there. Benta Berkland, CPR, thanks so much for speaking to me.
Thanks, Gavin.